What's up? What's up, everyone? This is Eddie Picasso, and you are listening to the Secret Side Hustle Hack Show. Now, what you are about to hear is going to blow you away. And if it connects with you at your heart and soul, you are not alone. At this very moment, I am over $250,000 in debt. I've got no job, and I'm barely hanging by a thread. To top it off, I'm only 30 days away from going lights completely out. So, this show is a must follow to follow my next moves as I crawl out of this hole. The question that everyone asks is this: how do real bloggers like us, who didn't cheat or really make money by scamming other people, who have been hustling nonstop, how do we grow our audience and create extra income in a way that lets us get our positive message out to the world and still have a balanced life? That is the elephant in the room, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Eddie Pistachio. Picasso. Hey, I'm Picasso, and welcome to the Secret Side Hustle Hack Show. All right, so hey everyone, welcome to the Secret Side Hustle Hack Show, helping side hustlers to succeed online in the online business and other important topics about creating wealth. So in today's interview, I have, it's going to be The Secret Dangers to Creating Wealth, and it's Stephen Larson, reveals how every side hustler can succeed in online business. My name is Eddie Picasso, and today I'm talking with a sales funnel expert, Stephen Larson, about tips, tricks, and secrets about side hustle shortcuts and that you can use to succeed towards creating wealth and get a great result. So, Stephen, got so many questions to ask you.
Bring it, man. Stump me. Let's do it.
Finally be able to talk to you one-on-one. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself in terms of background, education, experience in creating wealth and sales funnels, really?
Yeah, totally. So I was born 30 years ago, and just kidding, how far back do you want me to go? I don't know. So I started building sales funnels before something like ClickFunnels ever existed, in WordPress and GetResponse. GetResponse has this like crappy page editor, and a long time ago they did, and I don't know if they still do, but I was building it, and I was feeling the pain of having to build funnels without being a coder, which sucked. And this was pre-ClickFunnels. And I saw this guy. He had this course called Dotcom Secrets X. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. Anyways, I grabbed the course and I started going through it. And immediately I was like, this guy looks like he's like 12 years old. Does he even know what he's talking about? You know? And I was like, and it was Russell Brunson. And I started diving deeply into his courses, And he was, life changing for me, man. I was like, I started doing everything that he said, and suddenly like the 12 previous failures of businesses that I had been trying, I started having some successes. Right. And, despite all those past failures, and I started having some successes. I was in the middle of college, and it was cool because for me, like, we had such little cash. It was ridiculous. Like when my wife and I got married, I mean, it was literally like a, hey, do we have enough money to eat kind of thing. Like it was really intense. So I totally understand the whole side hustle mentality. You know, I guess it's, you know, having a business on the side, because it's, I mean, you're running and gunning, you're trying to, you know, that something else exists, and you know that you know, the opportunity to, it's so funny the road that you go on to actually finally get it and then realize and look back like, oh crap, I could have skipped this and skipped that and I could have skipped this. And that's more important than that. And like, but you know, hindsight's 20/20, you don't know those things until you run. And I think that's, I don't know. I know you're not asking this question, but I feel like it's really, really cool when somebody can start running at their side hustle with the expectation of complete failure. Like don't have any expectation of success. It actually can be a hindrance to you because of all the, you know, you got the inside voices, you're battling with yourself. Is this going to work? Is it worth it? And you got the outside voices of friends and family, maybe loved ones. And you're like, holy crap. I was running for this at the time. I was following a guy, his name was Sean Terry, and he's a real estate guy. And I was following him. I was listening to him, and he had this concept called the shut up check. And the shut up check is the first check that you get to throw back in everyone's face when they're asking you, oh, is this the next big thing, Stephen? Oh, is this is the one, isn't it? And you're like, boom, shut up, because you got the shut up check. And I was like, all I wanted was my shut up check. And I was running and running and running and running. I told it, and I actually wrote a check in my wallet. wherever my wallet is. I think I still have it. It's a check in there though for $50,000, and I future dated it to myself. And I was like, this is gonna be crazy. It's gonna be crazy. It's absolutely nuts. And it's funny because like when I, since like that 50 grand, it's so funny how like if the perception seems to be the reality, you know, and 50 grand, holy crap. But I wanted the shut up check, and I was running and running and running. And I ended up getting hired at ClickFunnels, which was never part of my plan, to go build funnels for Russell. And all the while, though, I continued to build things on the side. I just knew that that's who I was. And so I'd go wake up at 5 a.m. and I would ride my bike many miles into, because we didn't have enough money for another car still. Or money we did have, I didn't want to justify with that. So I was like, I'm going to live lean. I'm living hungry. I want to stay hungry. And even now I'm hungry. I don't want to ever be satisfied. I don't want to become civilized. I want to stay hungry and feisty. And so anyways, I would ride my bike in, and I was the first one in there. So from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., I'd work on my own funnels in Russell's office. And then from 9 a.m. when he came in to 6 p.m., I'd work with him. And then I'd go back home and then, you know, we'd have dinner with the family and put the kids to bed, play with them a little bit. And then at about 8 or 9 o'clock, I'd keep going till about midnight. And then go to sleep for 5 hours, get back up at 5 and do it again. That's kind of how I did it. And that's similar to how I was doing it in college as well. So I was in college, I was married, we had kids, I was in the army. I mean, it was really busy. And so any discretionary time, I was conscious to make sure I would cut out things that were taking up stupid time, like Netflix, you know, taking out stupid time. Like, and so it's funny because especially for a long time, if you're still in the middle of the side hustle, like I commend you, but like, it's funny. There's a guy who would always tell me, he's like, it's going to be this whole road, the whole game is going to be longer than you fear, but not as long as you think, right? It's going to be longer than you fear, but not as long as you think. I think that's what it was. And that really helps like console some of the early failures that I was feeling. So like, oh, that's right. This is just another one. This is another one. This is another one. This is another one. And as I look back now, the fact that I actually went through all that stuff is actually what makes me attractive to follow now. It was just like, bam, straight out of the gates. Like it actually wouldn't be very appealing to follow me anymore. And so I'm actually super thankful for all the crap that went on and the extreme, super intense stress that went on. Because it literally has made me be the hook. I'm the hook, right? I'm the attractive part of what I'm doing because of what I've been through. And when I publish that stuff and I talk about it and I do those things, it's like, holy crap, super cool. It's really, really very helpful.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like you said, hindsight's 20/20, and we are in the trenches grinding, and we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. We think that it's the road that we're on is just going to be impossible to get to the end goals, and it's just a matter of pushing forward. It's interesting because it sounds like a lot of these side hustlers, a lot of these entrepreneurs, they have the same kind of background. Because I know Sean Terry, and I've been through his and his.
Yeah. Sure.
And
cool.
I've been through the whole real estate deal. And coming from a strong Tony Robbins background, I come from building that state and really staying positive, but it's sometimes it's hard to be able to keep that momentum when, like I say, life punches you in the face. So it's really awesome that there is success stories like yourself. One thing I did want to ask you, and you pointed it out on your affiliate outreach program about now that you left ClickFunnels, they built a whole different department to do just what you did. So I want to hear about it. I mean, that's amazing. I kind of want to hear a little bit about it. Is there something coming big from ClickFunnels because of that huge change? And usually restructuring like that means something big, right?
Well, all right, when I first got there, this is how it worked, right? I literally sat 3 feet from him. We sat back to back, and it was interesting because I had two big monitors, and I plugged my laptop into him, and he has three monitors. I don't know how he does the three thing. I can only do two. It's too much screen space for me when it's three. But anyway, it was funny because like they were angled perfectly enough that when I would be sitting back and doing my stuff, over on the left one, it would reflect directly back into his monitor and into his, I could see his face and he could see mine in the monitor, which like made it extra freaky because I was already such a fanboy of his before I ever got there. I was like, don't tell him you almost put a poster of him in your room. Don't tell him you almost put a poster of him in your room. Yeah, that'd be creepy. Yeah, don't say that. Yeah, it's like, and I was like such a huge fanboy. I was like, I was mute for like 2 months. I mean, I did not say a thing. I was like, this is like the guy. I mean, I can't believe he's right there. And every time I needed to ask him something, I felt like, is this a stupid question? Make sure you answer as much as you can before you ask him. You know, make sure you know, don't be dumb. It's kind of like the Sandlot. Don't be a doofus. Anyway, so it's like high anxiety for a long time just because of the brilliance. So I would just sit there and get my work done and pushing hard. And my motto was to get one massive deliverable to him every single day, whatever it was, something huge, something that in his eyes, he was like, crap, you got that done today? Oh my gosh. And so it was this, I never took lunch breaks. I never took breaks. I think I'd stand up maybe like 3 times a day because I was trying to prove that I belonged in the room. And so I just run. And I took that same fighter mentality before getting there with all these side hustles I'd been trying, and things started kind of working. And then I started having these great successes for other companies I was building for, which qualified me to sit there. And I was trying to, massive deliverable every single day. And this is the way it always worked. The first thing I did is when I sat down in there, he would go, all right, Steven, all right, today you're going to take the Funnel University sales page and on one screen, and then on the other screen take a blank ClickFunnels page, and we're gonna make it literally totally blank, just white. It's like, I want you to clone that page pixel by pixel, and at the end show them to me and we're going to see which one is mine. And I don't want to be able to guess which one's mine. I was like, oh crap, okay. I was already a good funnel builder, but there's a few like design elements that come into like how things do sell well. And he was trying to change the way he likes things built out and like full width screen. He does not like columns, things like that. It was very small stuff, but he was fine tuning me. And so for a long time, I call him a Mr. Miyagi because they're like wax on, wax off. I was like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this, dude? Right. And there's all these little tiny things like that. So I would go and I would build. I remember spent literally the entire day building out that original Funnel University page. It was a huge page. And at the end of it, I put mine up and I put his up. And the only reason he guessed his is because he hid some little CSS thin 1 pixel width lines like over on the side somewhere. I was like, are you kidding? Anyway, but he did little things like that with me for quite a while. And I would go and I would build these funnels out, and it was depressing. I remember like five months into it, I came home one day, you know, to our little apartment we were living in. And I was like, babe, I don't know if I'm going to have a job. What are you talking about? I was like, I spend 2 or 3 days building these beautiful, incredible funnels. They sell. They're awesome. But as soon as they're ready, like to go to Russell to get the final approval, he wrecks like 95% of them. Just bam, dead, bad. No, no, no. It's like, okay. You know, and for me, I'm like, look what I did. You know, it was like my 3-year-old. I felt like that's what I was looking at. Look what I made, Russell. And like, that's kind of like the mentality that I had a little bit. I was like, is it good? You know, and I'd pass it off to him and he was just, shoo, shoo. And he's not like a confrontational or, you know, so it was done nicely, but he would wreck it, just wreck everything that I had done. And I'd go back to the drawing board and I'd make it again. And the next funnel, 90% of it was killed, you know. And like 3 months after that, I'd be at like the 70% level. Another 3 months, I'd be like maybe the 50% level. And it was only like the final 3 months I was there where I would walk up, give them the funnel. And from a design, a funnel structure, a copywriting, an offer creation, a traffic, like all aspects, he'd be like, hey, it looks good, man. Let me just tweak this one word in the headline. And I'd be like, yes, right? I was like, holy crap. Like, huge, long road, massive road. And it was mentally taxing. Every single day. I mean, I put so many hours, easily 12 hours a day in the editor for 2 years, easily. Way more than that usually. And that was just for Russell's stuff, right? Then I come back home and keep doing it on my own. And so for the most part, like when I was there, so back to your question, I would go and he had fine-tuned so many little things in me and then put me on stage and started fine-tuning me on his stages and then fine-tuning me over here with podcast stuff. And then and I didn't realize that he had done that much. And I don't think he did either, honestly. I was just very observant and I was trying to always deliver like crazy. I wanted to be making a company like sickeningly huge amounts of money, more than they were paying me. And I wanted it to be just painstakingly obvious. So I, that's what I did. Anyway, so when I left, Russell and I were really the only funnel builders. What was interesting is like contrasting from the time when I first got there to the time I left. When I first got there, it was literally like he and I, and that was it. I mean, he had like one other designer he'd sometimes go send things out to, but like I knew enough Photoshop and enough Illustrator and enough video editing and enough this and enough that, and, you know, like audio editing, stuff like that. Like I geek out about that stuff as well. And I'm pretty good at several of those platforms, not all of them, that I was the one making the creatives all the time, always also for the majority of, for a lot of the things that were in there. Bigger projects, no, he'd go bring in some other people, stuff like that, but like there was nobody else. And by the time I left, there was a copywriter that was dedicated, there was a you know, dedicated front-end coders, there was dedicated, you know, videographers, designers, graphics people, audio people. And so it turned into more of this role where I was still the one putting it all together. Russell would draw it out, he'd be like, hey, remember the page from this funnel a year and a half ago, that second upsell? I'll be like, yes. He's like, okay, that page mixed with, okay, the third upsell and the downsell from that funnel. Remember that like 2 years ago from that obscure thing you did? I'm like, oh yeah, okay, that page, let's do that page with this upsell. And then the front, like it was super granular. Like, okay, this first page, the top section, we're going to grab it from this funnel. Okay, remember that bottom section, we're going to grab it from that one. And it was like, it was really interesting way to start learning funnel building. And so by the time I left, they decided to just kind of make it official and create just an in-house agency. So there's nothing else big that's coming in that area, except I know they have like a funnel Rolodex coming to kind of make a directory and a little ecosystem, which is extremely awesome. I'm super excited for that, but it's just an in-house directory. It's not for anyone else. In-house agency.
That is amazing, Stephen. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. And thank you, audience, for tuning in. So as you can see, this Stephen, he's just out of this world, man. Super amazing. For them to actually need a whole different department or set up a new different department to take on his role and what he was doing with ClickFunnels and Russell Brunson right beside him. It's super amazing, and it speaks wonders. It speaks so much about him, but the type of genuine person that he is. He's got a super amazing story for the background that he's coming from, with going from being a college student, earning his income was pretty much living off of student loans, to becoming the funnel factory, as I've heard it said before, for ClickFunnels, right next to Russell Brunson. So it's super amazing. And he touches very on a lot of good points about the side hustles, about having to work a 9-to-5, work a full-time job, and then still either wake up early in the morning to do whatever you have to do for your side hustle, go to work, come back, spend time with the kids, and then move on to still finish off the night doing what you have to do to continue with your side hustle. And it's something that many of us, if not all of us, side hustlers have to do in order to make things work. But what you do have to keep in mind is you have to keep that target in mind, that end of the line, that light at the end of the tunnel. As he said, as Stephen said, that he once heard it being said, is the journey is going to be long, it's going to be tough, but it's not going to be as long as you think. So it's just a matter of continuing to push forward. There's a really good book that talks about being three feet away from being 3 feet away from gold, being 3 feet away from gold. So you may very well be 3 feet away from gold when it comes to your side hustle and be making it and being able to quit the 9-to-5 and just focus on your full-time business. So it's something that I really appreciate Stephen touching base on. I remember when I first started my first side hustle. Actually, I started my first side hustle when I was fresh out of high school at 18. And it actually did so well. It did well. I started focusing on real estate. I read one book. I think it was something about investing in real estate with no money down. And I put those principles into practice, or whatever that book was teaching. It's an old book now, but I followed it to the T. The internet was barely blowing up at that time, and I started going on the forums, and I started posting on the forums that I buy houses, and they're looking for investors to buy these houses that I have available. And I have I was trying to build that buyers list at that time, which I didn't know what I was actually doing. I was just following the rules in the book or the tips. And then somebody from out of town actually ended up finding me online, and I'm in Texas. And the gentleman, the investor that called me, that got a hold of me, he was in Oregon. And down here in Texas, we get, during the winter, we get what we call winter Texans. And it's just people from up north, from other states up north in the colder states, with Michigan, Washington, anywhere where there's snow, where it gets really cold in the winter. And they come down for the winter just to, they're kind of like migrating for the winter, right? And they come down here to take advantage of the southern heat or the southern warmth. It doesn't get as cold down here. And this investor in Oregon, he had a lady who was one of those winter Texans who had just lost her husband and had a house down here where I'm from. And she had sold him that property because she wasn't going to be coming down anymore. So I ended up putting that that house under contract, and then turning around and flipping it to somebody else, or wholesaling it to another investor. Well, that was the intention. So what I started doing is, once I put it under contract, I started putting it, advertising it, right? I started putting, I put a for sale sign in the yard. Of course, with the owner knowing of what I was doing, my intentions with the property. And I started marketing it. I put it in the newspaper, in the Penny Savers newspaper. Started advertising it online. Started doing the bandit signs. And interestingly enough, through those bandit signs, another local investor got a hold of me asking me what I had going on. And so I told him I had read this book. I'm doing this real estate stuff and this and that, yada, yada. And he gave me some good solid tips on how to go about closing that property, turning it around and selling it within the 30 days that I had put it under contract. And it was very helpful tips. That gentleman came later on, ended up being my first, what I consider my first mentor. He mentored me in real estate. And I got to flip another property with him later on. But unfortunately, that's as far as I got. I was able to flip that property and another one with this gentleman, my mentor. But I actually had life happen to me, and I fell out of contact with him. I lost all my contacts, and I ended up getting a full-time job, which was what I had been doing for the past 13 years, working in petrochemical refineries. And so that hunger, that drive, that side hustle, being hungry for that side hustle was still inside of me until I actually put my foot down at the end of the 2016 election, and decided to teach my kids a lesson that in order to succeed, in order to adapt and overcome, you don't just kneel to adversity. You adapt, you overcome, and you keep pushing forward. It's not a matter of how many times you fall down. It's a matter of how many times you get back up, right? That's what Rocky was big on. It doesn't matter how hard you punch or how hard you get punched. What matters is how many times you get back up. So I decided to go in head first, or feet first, and try again my real estate venture last year, or end of 2016, early 2017. And then it has evolved from there. Evolved into a personal growth journey. I knew that I had inner conflicts that I needed to resolve if I was to succeed, whether it was in business or in my personal life. And so fortunately enough, I'm gratefully enough, I ended up coming across Steven Larson, which he has become my mentor. He's become what I'm listening to, who I follow. I tune in, try to tune in as much podcasts as I can, his live feeds and all that good stuff. He's super amazing. And, I guess I'm glad to say that he's a role model for me. He's super amazing. So this, our interview continues for about 15 more minutes. 15 to 20 more minutes. So if you want to catch the rest of the live interview, or the rest of the interview with Mr. Funnel Factory, Steven Larson, one of the top undisputed funnel builders in the world, he earned so many nicknames for being such a wonderful marketer, sales funnel builder, entrepreneur. When he was at ClickFunnels, he just fine-tuned all of his marketing skills, his sales funnel skills. So he's super amazing. So definitely a person to follow. If you want to catch the rest of the interview, you can always log on to my download all the interviews, not only his but all the other expert interviews that I'll be featuring in The Secret Dangers of Creating Wealth. You can download that. You can get free access to that training at eddiepicasso.com/secret-dangers-2-wealth. So it's secret dangers to wealth and with dashes in between. So eddiepicasso.com/secret-dangers-2-wealth. You can download all of the videos, watch all the videos, all the expert trainings on the biggest pitfalls that a new person has to be aware of when he's endeavoring in these side hustles. And the single greatest tip that each one of these expert entrepreneurs has to speed up your success and on your side hustle towards wealth. So stay tuned. Thanks for tuning in, guys. This has been another episode of the Super Totally Secret Side Hustle Hack Show. Thanks for watching. I love you guys. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening. Please subscribe and leave your feedback. Do you want to collaborate and mastermind with other side hustlers just like you and toss ideas around? If so, join the Totally Secret Side Hustle Hackers Facebook group.